former X Division champion and number 22 on PWP's Top 25 of 2022, Mike Bailey here, and you are listening to Pro Wrestling Proverbs with Logan and Anthony.
Script. They're somewhat of a passion project of mine. You know, we got the good book over in our Etsy store. If you want to go buy it, go, you know, have one of your own. But I figured with this 10th installment, not counting the DIYs on the playlist, that I wanted to give not only, you know, the people listening, but you, Anthony, something special. I know that you've always enjoyed my kind of fantasy bookings.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned on one of our last episodes, I wish I wrote it down, but Hogan coming back in 2015 to help face, you know, a foreign authority group. I think that's when it really started. And from then on, you know, I tend to get us overly excited because it's not like I'll book things that can't happen. Realistic, and they should have. And then when the actual outcome happens,
you become
sad boys.
Yeah,
but it's like I told my wife earlier today. You know, we're wrestling fans. We expect it. A disappointment. So
my life is nothing but disappointment.
Yeah, you know, wrestling's supposed to get us out of the moment, but all of this take us back in and remind us that big guys beat little guys. But this one, I've kind of kept a secret, I've kind of dropped little hints, but this is how I believe the Bloodline storyline should go from WrestleMania 40 until what I feel will be its end at WrestleMania 41. And for months, which might make me sound like a nerd, but for months I've been trying to figure out how The Rock can be heel. And my goodness, WWE delivered, didn't they, with that press conference?
Yes,
they gave me what I needed.
He slapped the shit out of the Cody Rhodes.
That was my missing piece, and he did. He slapped that candy ass. So I got to tweak a little bit, but it helped. Because, I mean, a babyface bloodline's stupid, right?
Yeah.
Even a babyface Rock at this point's stupid. Give me Hollywood Rock. Give me corporate Rock. That's money. I do find it funny that he'll be up against a Rhodes and Triple H, who might as well be a McMahon, because McMahon and Rhodes have been corporate for eons. And now they're playing the low man on the totem pole. Ironic. But this story here begins at WrestleMania 40. I think they teased it a little bit. I think on night one, we get Cody and Seth against The Rock and Roman. Let's say Seth Rollins already has an opponent night two, probably at this point, Drew McIntyre. Especially since they're trying to keep him under contract. And, you know, Cody wants this match. So on SmackDown, which is happening right now as we're recording, so I don't know if this is actually happening, Triple H comes out and says, Cody wants this match. We're going to give it to him. The Rock comes out. He's corporate Rock. You know, runs Triple H up and down. Says how he truly hasn't moved up the company. And look at The Rock now. He pretty much runs the company. So the only way that Cody Rhodes is going to get a match with Roman Reigns is if he and a partner can beat he and Roman on night one. I've heard from some people they think that it could be Cody versus Solo, but I think that's boring. Solo kind of bores me. He needs to have his rematch with Cena at Mania. So then in the following weeks, Seth has finally had enough. He's tired of being called the number two. You know, he was never called the number one in the Shield. He was, you know, even when he teamed with Becky Lynch, he was always looked at as number two. Even when he led his own faction, he wasn't looked at as a top guy. So by beating The Rock and Roman, he will finally be looked at as a top guy. He'll bring prestige back to the big gold belt. Something that's kind of been lacking since the titles came back. Fast forward to WrestleMania. Cody actually pins The Rock in the match because Roman Reigns isn't in there to break up the pinfall. So Cody Rhodes then gets to face Roman Reigns at the main event of Night 2 at WrestleMania. Unfortunately, Seth loses his match. Drew wins a title, finally gets the ovation he deserves in front of fans. Could have probably happened in England, but that's neither here nor there. Cody then beats Roman.
Oh.
And you want to know how he beats Roman? As The Rock and others try and come out. I think at this point the Usos are back together. I think the Usos are going to fight at Night 1. But since they're brothers, after they have this blood feud, they'll hug it out. That's what brothers do. So Solo will come out. The Usos will come out. Even The Rock will come out and try and help Roman. Cody will come out. Seth will come out. KO and Sammy will come out. But then there's still, you know, The Rock. Who's going to stop The Rock? Well, it's WrestleMania 40, isn't it? That's when the glass breaks.
Over the top rope.
Stone Cold's already taken out McMahon at a recent WrestleMania. Why not take out The Rock one more time? Stone Cold comes down, stuns The Rock. Roman's shocked. Cody grabs him from behind. Hits the crossroads for that 1, 2, 3. So finally, after months, years of Roman feeding, getting his way, the bloodline helping, he's finally lost. Not just once, but 2 nights in a row to Cody Rhodes. We then go to the following Monday Night Raw, and the bloodline are in the ring. So they're the Usos, Solo Sikoa, Paul Heyman. And The Rock is talking about how, you know, he's been with the Nation of Domination. He's been with the Corporation. He's even with the Rock and Sock Connection. He's had all these box office hits. And he's never been as much of a loser as he was last night. He came back to the WWE. He tried to team with his bloodline, who's supposed to be the head of the table. And then his cousin not only lost the tag match, but he lost the heavyweight title. You can tell Roman's upset. He doesn't say anything. Rock grabs him by his face and says, "Do you hear me talking to you? You're supposed to be the head of the table." As this is happening, Paul Heyman's in shock. And The Rock and the rest of the bloodline leave. Nothing happens for 2 weeks. And then again, finally, Roman comes out on a Raw, tries to explain himself. The Rock comes out. And at that point, the Uso music hit. They come out, and he says, "Take care of my light work." The Uso start beating down Roman. Solo Sikoa runs out. Solo starts in on the beatdown. Then from the crowd comes the debuting Jacob Fatu and Zilla Fatu.
Oh, shit.
The sons of Umaga. So even the odds, or so you'd think, they started on the beatdown. The Rock's instructing them. Samoan drops, splashes, super kicks, Samoan spikes. Paul Heyman is in ruins until his tears become laughter. Paul Heyman then hugs The Rock, holds his hand up, and then that's when that Raw fades to black. Paul comes out on SmackDown and starts to explain that he doesn't manage or advocate for losers. He does not counsel for losers.
Loser.
Brock lost the title. He dumped him. Big Show lost the title. Dumped him. Angle lost the title. Dumped him. Punk lost the title. So on, so forth. And he said that he knew Cody was right when Cody asked for counsel in The Rock. Paul Heyman goes on to talk about how he's managed the Samoan SWAT team. He's had run-ins with Rikishi. He's seen all of the Samoan bloodline. Hell, if you remember, the first ECW champion, Eastern Championship Wrestling, was Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Paul Heyman's pulse on the bloodline runs deep. He introduces Zilla. He introduces Jacob. And he says that now with the Usos, Solo, and them, this makes it where The Rock doesn't have to be there every week. Because he heard the fans cry during Roman's reign. He heard, oh, he's never here. Oh. Well, now there's five people that are going to run roughshod through the WWE. The Usos will take the tag titles, and then any of the three can win a heavyweight, intercontinental, and U.S. They completely take people out week in, week out. SummerSlam rolls around. Cody's still champion. And The Rock says, Cody, you pinned Roman night one. You pinned Roman night two. You never pinned The Rock. Cody and Rock have a match at SummerSlam. Stone Cold isn't there this time, which I'm sure, you know, would get the internet in a frenzy. Why'd he show up at Mania but not at SummerSlam? I don't understand. It's booking. The Rock wins. Everyone's in shambles. And then you hear the familiar Shield tune. Lights go up to the fans, and there's Roman standing there at the entrance ramp. Show ends there. The following Monday, Roman comes out and says he's not looking for forgiveness from the Bloodline, but he is going to take back everything that he lost, and he's going to go one by one. Now then, this is August, so his next match would be at the September pay-per-view. He open challenges Solo Sikoa, who's supposed to be his underling, the prince. But he says he's going to send him to the island of irrelevancy. They put on one hell of a match. Roman fends off the Usos. Seth Rollins shows up to help him take out Jacob Fatu. Rock, of course, doesn't show because it's not a big four. And then after Roman pins Solo, he brings out a copy of that familiar family tree that The Rock showed at the press conference. He takes the blood from Solo's head with two fingers, and then he crosses Solo's name off the family tree. He looks into the camera, still holding Solo, and says, I'm going to create my own bloodline. That's September. We then go to October. In between the pay-per-views, he calls out Jay. He completely disrespects Jimmy by saying he's going to go from the top to the bottom of the bloodline until he gets to The Rock. So Jay would be next because Jimmy's never been main event. Jimmy was only there to carry his bags. Beats Jay. Does the same thing, takes the blood from his forehead, wipes his name off. And then you can tell at the end of each premium live event, he's staring into the camera, focused. This is the same Roman Reigns, but at the same time, a different one, a different motive. No longer caring about winning the heavyweight title, this time tearing apart the family that he helped build back up. Survivor Series rolls around. And Solo takes the mic on the Raw following the October Premium Live event. And he says, there's five of us. You might have Seth, but with all the enemies you made, you will never fill a team for War Games. It then shows Roman in the back. He's shocked. He knows. But Seth walks up, puts a hand on his shoulder, and says, we'll figure this out. The first man they go to recruit is none other than Sami Zayn. Sami seems a little off about this at first, but he's tired of seeing Jay go to the dark side. He wants to finally put an end to this, something that he feels he and Roman truly started. So there's three men. 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, a familiar theme song hits, and John Cena runs down to the ring as Sami, Roman, and Seth face off against the Bloodline. Cena says he knows he doesn't have a lot more in him, and that a War Games match could empty his tank. But He's helped strike down Paul Heyman's villainous group on SmackDown. He's helped take out the Authority. The list goes on. The Nexus. He's ready to help take out one more group. So there's four. Who will the fifth be? Roman and Seth are still asking. Randy Orton doesn't want to do anything with Roman. He's seen people get turned on. He knows how that is. McIntyre, as World Heavyweight Champion, doesn't want to risk anything. And as it seems that they're only going to have four going into the match, Cody Rhodes walks up after being away since SummerSlam. He looks Roman in the eye and he asks him if he's serious about doing this. And Roman laughs and says, haven't you seen the last two events? Cody sticks his hand out. And for the first time, these two will team up. Even though since Cody's been back, they have been on nothing but a collision course. War Games happens. And of course, Roman's team wins. The Rock comes out at the end of the event, stands at the top of the ramp, knowing that a battle with his cousin is just on the horizon. December rolls around, and as he keeps going down the list, now, again, a disrespect to Jimmy. He says he wants Jacob Fatu, the Samoan werewolf. And for those unfamiliar, Jacob has dominated the MLW scene. As of late, he recently got signed to Booker T's Reality of Wrestling promotion. We actually saw him at StarCast.
Yeah.
And I thought from there he would have been brought into the fold, but I guess he does have some outside-the-ring issues.
Runs in a family.
Yeah, definitely. you know, a lot of people say Solo is reminiscent of Umaga. Jacob Fatu is as close as you're going to get. He is a big man, but he can pull off all the moves. Roman overcomes him. Roman takes the blood from him and wipes his name off. Again, looking into the camera. The Rock being TKO board member, though, says, and he's still heavyweight champion, Roman, you're not going to be in the Royal Rumble. Because you actually have a match at the Royal Rumble. You've disrespected him for months. You're going to get Jimmy Uso. And, you know, you're going to be too tired to be in the Rumble. Roman laughs and says, I won't be too tired. And then that's when Paul Heyman struts out and says, he won't be too tired, but let's make sure he's too tired because I think I have his number right here. The Rock grabs the ball from Paul's hand, looks at it, and says, it's ironic. You used to hold up one finger when you'd win your match. You used to say, we are the one. Roman, after your match with Jimmy, you are number one in the Royal Rumble. Roman doesn't take too much of this. He's planning. He's ready. And then the SmackDown before the Royal Rumble, it is announced that the match card, the match before the Royal Rumble, will be Roman Reigns and Jimmy Uso. The heavyweight title match will go on after the Rumble. Roman beats Jimmy, gets the blood, wipes it off. But as soon as he does that, the announcer begins, now it's time for the Royal Rumble match. Already in the ring is number one, Roman Reigns. Roman lasts the entirety of the match. It gets down to him and Gunther. Spears Gunther. Spears him again. Picks him up to throw him out. But who comes into the ring is The Rock with a rock bottom. Again, to tie things together, this would put us in 2025. 2015 is when The Rock came and helped Roman win the Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
10 years later.
He got booed then, too.
He drops him. Yep. He drops him. Tells Gunther to toss him out and heads up the ramp. Gunther wins. The Rock shakes his hand. The following night on Raw, it is announced that Gunther will challenge McIntyre, which will be, of course, a banger. Rock is laughing. He's done it all. He stopped Roman. And now we head into the February Premium Live event. Roman Reigns has a match with Zilla Fatu, wipes his name off. he's not. It's an easy one for him. Main event time. The Rock strutting his stuff. He knows he's gonna leave as the heavyweight champion. There is no question that he's gonna stomp this young guy, this Braun Breaker. He's only a second generation superstar. The Rock's a third. He put himself in this match for a reason. Then as a ref bump happens, instead of a Braun Breaker spear, it's a Roman Reigns spear to The Rock. He jostles the ref a little and leaves the ring. Braun Breaker gets up, hits his own spear on The Rock to do 1, 2, 3, cementing himself as the future of the company by beating The Rock for the title. The Rock comes out of the next night on Raw, and he doesn't want a rematch. He knows he can handle Braun Breaker anytime, anywhere. He's tired of Roman Reigns getting involved in his matches. He's sick of it. He saw it before, and now it's happening to him now. The announcers mentioned, you know, well, you know, The Rock's been doing this to Roman. The Rock looks at the announcers, and he tells Corey Graves to get to the back. He's gone. He's fired. He's tired of this. He is the head of the TKO board. He's the head of the table. It's his show, and he's tired of the disrespect. Leaving Michael Cole there by himself. Everyone's walking on eggshells. And as The Rock keeps running things, messages keep being left in his office. In blood. One to go. You are the one. It doesn't matter what you think. Finally, The Rock comes out 1 week before Mania. And he says, you know, The Rock had a year-long setup to one of the greatest, a cross-generational WrestleMania match. And now it looks like he's going to have a one-week setup to, again, a cross-generational match. But it's interesting, isn't it? The Rock had a cross-generational match with Hogan. Jumped a generation, has a cross-generational match with Cena. Jumped a generation. Now he's got one with Roman Reigns. It doesn't seem like it's cross-generational anymore. It seems The Rock is the stepping stone. The Rock is the head of the table. The Rock is the best. There's a reason Shawn Michaels didn't want to fight him.
Oh.
There's a reason Bret Hart ran to WCW. There's a reason that Vince put him in that damn handicap match with Dave Bautista and Randy Orton, because he would have mopped the floor with them. The Rock is tired, and The Rock is going to prove once and for all, for everyone that leaves him off the Mount Rushmore, for everyone that excludes him from the Flairs, Austins, Hogans, he is the one. Who else has held a heavyweight title in as many different eras as he had? Who else has run the main event as much as he had? Stone Cold came back. Stone Cold didn't even have a real match. That Hogan and Flair had to go there to make an impact elsewhere for their final match. Don't get me started on Bret and his attire. The Rock is here. The Rock is always ready. He takes his glasses off, looks in the mirror. Roman, the bloodline stopped with us. You're finally going to go one-on-one with the Great One. We get to WrestleMania, Roman comes out, and then, for the first time in years, on the Titantron, we see the helicopter spotlight. We see the city, and we hear The Rock's Hollywood theme. But then it cuts out, and it goes to the corporate Rock theme. And then it cuts out and goes to the regular Rock theme, and finally, it's remixed into his final theme, his final form, if you will. A Samoan version. Samoan dancers come out, whirling the fire. Paul Heyman comes out and stands. The Rock comes out, and he drapes the lei over him. He kisses The Rock on his cheek and says, I love you, Rocky. And The Rock pats him on his head. The Rock isn't only ready for a match, The Rock is ready for a battle. I would give this match personally 45 minutes.
Oh, God.
This will be The Rock's final match. I think this is one of Roman's final matches. I mean, with the previous leukemia, wanting to spend more time with his kids, holding all the records, beating all the men. This is, and then for to end the Bloodline story, which has been going on for so long, so many turns, so many twists. You have The Rock looking like he's got the advantage. I would say he hit a rock bottom through a table, rock bottom in the ring. One people's elbow takes off the other elbow pad. Two people's elbow finally goes for a third, and as he bounces off the ropes, Roman hits him with a spear. Roman stands up and looks around. He grabs a rock by his face like The Rock did on that Raw after Mania. Tosses Rock off the ropes. Another spear. Roman then picks The Rock up. Hits him with a Samoan drop. Hits him with a super kick. Hits him with a bonsai drop. He is going through the moves of their family. Drops The Rock with a rock bottom. Goes to the top rope and hits a splash reminiscent of the Usos. Picks The Rock up and does another Samoan spike. Finally, a Superman punch and a spear. For the 1, 2, 3. Roman Reigns, after a year, has finally tore the Bloodline apart. He takes the blood from The Rock's head and wipes his name off. And then in the process, crumpling the family tree and tossing it to the side. Paul Heyman at the top of the ramp does this, he's red-faced, just runs off. This is the last we see Paul with the Bloodline. Who knows, maybe he gets with, maybe with some Steiner math, he gets with Braun Breaker.
There you go.
But Roman stands tall. WrestleMania 41, which again would be 10 years after 31, which is the Mania everyone thought he was going to be crowned the king. The fans give him a standing ovation, probably for one of the first times in his career, an organic standing ovation.
An actual deserved one for that.
He holds his hand up and does the one, and then you hear the familiar Shield music. No, I don't think Moxley comes back. I don't think he ever comes back. But I think Seth comes down and celebrates with Roman. They've stuck with the company through, I mean, especially the, right now in current times, thick and thin. And they get to celebrate as two at the top of the mountain, proving that they don't need the championships to be the guys. And they put their hands in to do the Shield fist, and that's when WrestleMania fades to black. So, yeah. Ties everything together. Like I said, I just needed The Rock to be heel. I had most of this planned out. I couldn't figure out if I wanted to include his daughter or what, but as fate would have it, he became the TKO board member. He set the shit out of Goaty. It all worked out. It's all plausible. Like, I didn't do anything out of the box.
No. The only thing I think people would get upset about is making them wait another year for Rock Roman.
See, I thought about that, but then with everyone complaining about Rock Roman for this year, what's another year?
That also, if The Rock decides to make Fast and Furious 13 or...
Right. See, my thought with that, too, is I know before he would have to tell, like, Hollywood, like, hey, I'm going to do this wrestling thing. And they're like, oh, you can't. Now he's a board member. So WWE is paying him, like, or he's involved constantly.
Yeah.
So now I think there's more of a reason for him to be like, hey, I'm going to go do this. And then Hollywood would be like, oh, come on. He's like, nah, I got to do this. This is my thing. I mean, the XFL's, I don't want to say it's failed him. We'll see what happens after it combines with the USFL. Supposedly Hollywood's failed him. I mean, Black Adam wasn't great, but, I mean, still made enough money. Like, it wasn't box office smash, but they're not all going to be. He plays The Rock in every movie now.
No, Rock, come back. You need to play Black Adam and Black Adam 2.
And I think this is what he, I think this is what he'd want. He'd want to go out on top. It seems like everyone's wanting to do this right now. I mean, Austin came back. Taker came back a couple times so he could end on top, even if they lose, right? Mick Foley wants to do that death match. I'm still devastated for Triple H that he didn't get to. So I think it's right there. There's plenty of Samoans. I know an easy out would have been including Lance Anoa'i, which is Roman's brother, but he looks like if someone tried to draw the Usos from memory. He doesn't have the look, man. Zilla and Jacob both have the look. I mean, and, Jesus, the one's called the Samoan Werewolf and the other's called Zilla, for Christ's sake. It's right there. Plus, if you continue to have Triple H and The Rock have creative input, I'm assuming with The Rock being back and being friends with Brian Gerwitz that he'll have input. Heyman's there. It's beautiful. It's magic. Like I said, I've had this idea for months, especially with The Rock supposedly coming back, and it's slowly falling to place.
And we'll see what happens next week on SmackDown. The Rock and Roman will be live in wherever city they're in. They'll be on SmackDown. Because I guess Triple H did come out today.
Okay.
And he was like, I'm calling the shots around here. Not The Rock.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, The Rock's going to be there next week. So we'll see. We'll see how closely your 10th scripture lives up.
Yeah, my 10th. I'll admit, I'm not fairly accurate. I had these great ideas. Territory system didn't happen. NWA kind of took a nosedive. Tony Khan was too scared, in my opinion, to do Adam Cole and Kenny Omega. Ric Flair's last match was not as fun as I said. Neither was Hogan's. I don't think Sting's will be either, from what they have booked. Neither will Goldberg's if he ever gets one.
TLC 3 still could happen.
Edge said it won't because they're in their 50s. And nobody wants to see that.
Well,
so Ed shot that one down.
Well, he's going to do what Tony Khan says.
He is going to do what Tony Khan says. Let's see, what else does that leave me? Sting versus Taker, well, that was for the past. And Randy Savage at WWE, that was in the past. So see if I can go 1 for 10. But regardless,
your DIYs could still come true. Logan.
Yeah.
Road Warriors return?
No.
No.
No. Fixing the streak? No. Flair 17? No. No. Let's see if I can go. Let's see. Let's see if I can get one. And regardless if they're right, like I said, they're fun and they're actual booking ideas. This isn't some. There is some terrible fantasy booking on Twitter. X, whatever you want to call it. And there's some terrible opinions, too. I hope that those listening and you, yourself, don't think that these are terrible opinions, terrible thoughts. And I hope that on this 10th one and then on future ones, continue to listen and continue to have fun and continue to just help the cogs move in your mind of what could happen. You know, just because The Rock comes back doesn't mean it's all got to be doom and gloom. They clearly have an idea. And like I said, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, The Rock running things, I have nothing but faith. Are they assholes? 100%. Probably some of the worst people to work with in wrestling from what I've seen. But do they have amazing creative ideas? Yes. If you listen to this, I took some, you know, The Rock coming out the next night on Raw, introducing a new family, kind of like when DX got back together. Roman Reigns trying to take them out one by one. Almost like Randy Orton had to do with Evolution. Just there's a lot. I'm realizing that recycling ideas aren't bad as long as you're not blatant about it. But, you know, all of these podcasts, all these, you know, we mentioned DIYs, we mentioned scriptures, they'll all be on one playlist if you just want to, you know, have these on, you want to listen to them. Some of them are as short as 4 minutes with Shawn Michaels' return in 2018 to 2019. Some of them are an hour long, like when I rebuilt the territories brick by brick, and Billy Corgan fucking shot that one right in the face. Again, just something fun to do. If you really like these, head on over to our Etsy. You can get your own Logan scriptures that you can fill out yourself. You can be your own booking DIY genius. And as long as you're here, whether you're on Spotify, whether you're on a third party, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, whether you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. As of right now, we're at 312 subscribers. We found out that to be a tag team partner with YouTube, we only have to have 500 subscribers. That's a pretty big jump from where we were at even 3 months ago at this time. And that'd be pretty cool for something that started out as kind of a middle finger to our university to show that we could do this.
Yeah.
To get 500 subscribers when they had to, if I'm not mistaken, close their wrestling podcast down.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to say that that gives me like a boost of serotonin or anything, but it helps. But yeah, give us a like, give us a subscribe, buy our stuff, and keep watching, because with it being February, I'm pretty sure that means we're going to start revving up the PWP Express.
Taking it to the shop?
Taking it to the shop, getting it ready. And we'll see you on the convention circuit.